Sportsnet's chief soccer reporter, John Molinaro. Mr. Molinaro, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
I admit I don't look at the MLS standings every day, but Dan Riccio, who you well know, one of your co-conspirators of soccer here at Sportsnet, made a point yesterday that got me thinking. He came in the office and we were talking about Toronto FC. And he said, take a look at Toronto FC's record and their point total. And imagine, and this is before last night's game, that it isn't good enough for first place. That's really, and then when you go back and look at that, you know, historic point totals for teams in MLS, it was rather remarkable that they weren't in first place, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it kind of, it could just kind of speaks to the competitiveness, especially of the Eastern Conference this year, where you have, you know, I think under normal circumstances, Toronto would be well out ahead, top of the table.
Sure.
But the fact that, you know, the fact is Chicago has done really well this year after a somewhat rocky start in New York City FC, and they've been able to keep pace. And then, and in terms of last week, Chicago was able to overtake Toronto. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a tight race between those three teams and even in the middle of the pack of the Eastern Conference for the rest of the way. It's kind of, you know, I know it's a cliche to say, but this is very much a marathon, and I think Toronto is going to find it, very difficult to just run out ahead, and because I think New York and Chicago and a few other teams are going to play them very close and stay within touching distance.
Toronto's going to have to get used to not having Steven Bateshore. Greg Vanney, we had him on yesterday, and he was talking about how, you know, they're going to have to try to make things work in the back end. How do you think this team is going to be able to hold up with the absence of Bateshore, and what are they going to have to do tactically to do it? You know, I mean, there was some talk about going away from the 3-5-2. I don't know if they do that over the long term. I don't know if there's somebody they can bring in. I don't know what their cap situation is. Is there somebody they can bring in to fill that role? What do you see them doing?
Yeah, it's interesting. We kind of got a glimpse of it last night because he went with a more, to start a more traditional 4-4-2, and then he reverted to the 3-5-2 later in the second half. My guess is that he's going to sort of fluctuate between the two and that it won't really sort of be tied down to the 3-5-2, which is his favorite formation, for any length of time. I think, you know, it's kind of, they're in a bit of a tricky situation right now because, as you said, Bateshore has just got out of hospital, so he's going to be unavailable. Justin Morrow is away with the U.S. national team. Armando Cooper is away with Panama at the Gold Cup, and Raheem Edwards is away as well. So they're sort of, you know, the guys who could possibly fill in on that right side of the wingback position, are away. I suspect when they get some of those bodies back, then they're going to fill in there. So, you know, in fact, sorry, in terms of, you know, possibly going out and getting someone to just add to get them through this, I don't really see that. I think, you know, there's enough depth there, although not particularly right now because, as I said, guys are away, that I think they can sort of weather this storm until Bateshore gets back. So I think they're just going to stay the course. I don't think, I think they have enough depth of talent there to sort of ride through this mini crisis at the moment.
Now, you mentioned the Gold Cup. That competition does get started tomorrow, I believe, with French Guiana playing Canada. What are your expectations for Canada in this tournament? And it is what? It's going to be the second official game under Octavio Zambrano. What are your expectations for this team?
To score a goal, for one. Uh-huh. They haven't scored a goal, I think, the last two Gold Cup tournaments, and they haven't won since three tournaments ago. So, I think the bare minimum is they have to score some goals and they have to win a game. This is Zambrano's first, tournament that he's going to lead Canada into since taking over the national team. So, and he's called in a fairly young team with a lot of, inexperienced players. So I think expectations have to be reasonable. They're in a pretty difficult group with Honduras and Costa Rica, who are two of the sort of kingpins of CONCACAF. So, you know, it's going to be hard for them to progress. But I think, in terms of goals, and what I'd like to see is, you know, aside from them scoring goals and win a game, I'd like to see some sort of sense of them coming together as a team, showing some cohesion and seeing some sort of team identity. Octavio has had the team for a couple months now, so this is his first real test to get them all together. So I'd like to see a little bit of the fruits of the hard work that he's been putting in.
How difficult is it going to be for this team to score goals? I guess the answer is they couldn't score goals even with these guys. But, you know, without Atiba Hutchison, Will Johnson, Kyle Larin, although he is on the supplemental roster, correct? If they advance, Kyle Larin is eligible to play. But how difficult will it be to overcome the loss, particularly of a guy like Atiba Hutchison?
Well, I think it's difficult. I mean, Atiba is such a creative player, and he's very much kind of like what Victor Vasquez does for Toronto FC, is he kind of sets the table, right? And such a player of great vision and creativity, and he's sort of the reference point, has long been the reference point for Canada in the central midfield. So, you know, without him, it'll be difficult, but I don't think it's impossible. You look at the game against Curaçao last month in Montreal, where, you know, again, it was a pretty young team and they didn't have, Atiba and Will Johnson. Will did play, but not very much. It was, all things considered, it was a pretty promising performance. The young guys like Alfonso Davies and Anthony Jackson Hamel, the four with Montreal Impact, and Russell Tiber, the Vancouver Whitecaps, they showed really well when they came into the game. And they were playing with a sense of, fearlessness and just confidence that hasn't always been there with the Canadian national team, especially with its attackers. So I think that's something to hang their hat on a little bit, on that one sort of good showing against Curaçao, and hopefully it'll sort of bleed over into the Gold Cup, even though they are, as you said, they're kind of missing some, you know, experienced hands there.
It's interesting. You talked about Alfonso Davies, and, it's funny because I get the sense, and this gives me great hope. I get the sense that this may be one of those cases where there's not a great deal of hype surrounding the player, but the guy might be pretty good. You know, I mean, sometimes we tend to, I mean, because we're football fans and we want the country to do well, and we're looking for the next guy. And when the next guy comes along, it's something we get excited about. Because frankly, it seems like there's so few of them. This guy comes along, and it almost seems as if it's more measured. Why is that? Is that maybe because he plays, he plays in Vancouver, and it's away from the Eastern time zone? But it does see, John, as if the expectations are a little more measured for him. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe amongst soccer people in the country, they're not.
No, I think you're quite right. The reasons are, I think one, you hit it on the one hand, is that he is playing out in Vancouver, so he's kind of away from, the bright lights of Toronto, and he's not getting the scrutiny that he normally would, and it's a different time zone, so not everybody sees his games. But to Vancouver's credit as well, they've kind of brought him along very slowly, and I kind of liken it to what Everton did when Wayne Rooney first sort of showed up. They didn't sort of throw him out there. They were very sort of measured and deliberate and kind of bringing him in dribs and drabs. So I think that's part of the reason. And I think the other part of the reason is, we've been burned so many times, right, when the other young Canadian talent has come up, that we've long heralded him as the savior, and this is the guy that's going to put us over the top. I think we've kind of learned our lesson a little bit, and just to sort of temper our expectations and be a little bit more mooted before, hailing someone as the next Messi. So, it's a combination of those factors, I think.
What are you expecting from this tournament in general, looking beyond Canada, from the other countries involved in it? And in particular, I'm thinking about Mexico just having sent their A team to the Confederations Cup. I don't know what to expect from them in this tournament, for example.
Yeah, I think it's going to be somewhat unpredictable because, Mexico hasn't sort of sent their A team. As you said, they're just coming off the Confederations Cup, so it's not their European-based players. It's largely, the guys who play in the domestic league. Same thing for the United States. They have called up what I wouldn't say is their A team. Guys like Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore have been left off the initial 23-man roster. So I think it could be wide open. I think, it could really go several ways. Anyone can, well, not anyone, but I mean, I think it's open for, a number of teams to win it. And I think of, a team like Costa Rica, who showed really well at the last World Cup, and I think has really come on as a rising power within CONCACAF the last couple of years. I think, you know, it's certainly within, you know, the realm of possibility that they could win this tournament. And Panama is another team that has really kind of come on in CONCACAF the last couple of years. So this sort of what we've been used to of Mexico and the United States dominating past Gold Cups, I wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, we saw a different winner this time around.